in Anglican, Episcopalian masses, quotes, is our Lord truly present in their Eucharist? I only ask because isn't there succession of priests and bishops from the Roman Catholics when they split in England from the Church? Well, there are some Anglican or Episcopalian quotes and masses that are valid. Why? Because those bishops or priests made sure they were validly ordained by Catholic standards. When I taught the Anglican Seminary in Chicago, Seabury Rustin, most of my students in class told me they wanted to make sure that when they were ordained, the ordaining prelate had himself been ordained either by an Orthodox or an old Catholic bishop whose ordinations are valid. Yes, not a few Anglican Episcopalian masses are both valid and the consecration is real. I know a lady who lost two adult sons by drowning in a snowmobile accident. She no longer attends Mass. She said she definitely will not pray for them. She seems very bitter towards God. I hurt for her, but am at a loss as to what to do for her. Well, three things. First of all, continue praying for her. Secondly, get her to pray. Get her to pray. And then, if you can, talk to her and tell her, God knows much better than you what is good for your sons. He loves your sons much more than you do. He is calling them into eternal life. Maybe, and we can trust, it is better for your sons than if they have remained on earth, because then you no longer have the satisfaction of having your sons, but they have the satisfaction of being saved. What are your feelings about Medjugorje? Should you be listening to the messages? Well, I've got no feelings about Medjugorje. I've got certain convictions. I have strong reservations about Medjugorje. It may be, only God knows, it may be that originally those revelations, quotes revelation, were authentic. I have very good reasons for discrediting those messages since. For one thing, publicity. Of course, now what's going on in that country has in many ways put a stop, at least, to the travels and so on. Publicity. The strong affiliation with the charismatic movement and the alleged revelations of Our Lady. Unless a person is charismatic, they are not really devoted to Our Lady. Come. Or, I think I quoted this message, quote message, that the Church of the future will no longer be institutional with authority the way it has now. It will be a spiritual society. Thanks. Have you heard of the 3 days of darkness? What do you think about this? What should we think about this? Pray for the people who take that seriously. Do you know there are people that are filling their basements with food? Do you know that? And water? Oh, no. Look, somebody like 3 billion people have not even had Christ preached to them. Don't talk to me about 3 days of darkness or the end of the world. Forget it. I tell people, by our standards, Christianity is how old? 2,000 years. By Christ's standards, how old is Christianity? 2 days old. I would say conservatively, at least 100 more centuries of Christianity, at least. Should I give up coming to this class in order to do work for the charity at church? Far be it from me to discourage doing charitable work at church. But I can at least give you one little suggestion at doing work of charity. The highest charity you can perform is to share your faith with others. And I want to think I'm giving you some mazuma, something you can give to poor people. I don't mean physically poor, but spiritually poor. Hope you're getting something out of these classes which you can share with others. But it's your decision. Is the Russian Orthodox Church Eucharist valid? Yes, it is valid. Please give the reasons we should meditate on the scripture daily. What about meditating on the daily readings from Mass? Done the night before. Wonderful. It's a good idea then to know what the readings from Mass will be for the next day. I didn't bring with me. Do we have any Jesuit orders left? Well, I didn't think I'd bring it up, but maybe. This is a Jesuit photo. That means these are the directives that we Jesuits receive for every day of the ecclesiastical year, starting with the first Sunday of Advent, which, well, was 2 Sundays ago, up to the last Sunday before the liturgical year. Now, each day, for example, today, 13th of December, Sunday, violet or rose, third Advent, Sunday office, Psalm, third part of the Psalm, Te Deum, Masses of Sunday, then Creed, then the readings, what readings are to be read. Then a very short, for example, are you the one who is to come or must we wait for someone else? From Matthew 11, 2 to 11. Then the intention for the Mass. Now, I don't know how many, if any, Georgetown University Press has left of these orders. I don't pay for mine because I get them from my superiors. They cost $4. I'm not selling anything. What was the question? Meditating on the scripture of the day. You can tell beforehand what the scripture reading is going to be. Then I use the empty space. See, there's empty space on each day for my examination of conscience. I've got my own patented hieroglyph. Nobody who picks it up, they won't know what I'm saying. Abbreviations for the failings that Hardin has to still overcome. So I mark myself down. One thing I should tell you, I don't think our Lord will mind how much time I've spent in prayer each day, and I try to spend 3 hours every day. And if I don't, if I spend 3 hours, then it's 180. If it's 170, I haven't spent as much time as I should. So I give myself, I grade myself for every day. I've been doing it since I entered the Society of Jesus. It's great. Believe me, it takes a lifetime, what a safe statement, to become a saint. And some people have to live longer. What is the difference between the sacrament of confirmation and the baptism of the Spirit, talked about by charismatics? Well, the baptism of the Spirit, of course, depends on which charismatic you talk to. Because, believe me, they do diverge. They are different among themselves. But a center definition or meaning for the baptism of the Spirit is that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that some people receive when they become charismatic, comparable to what the apostles and disciples and Our Lady too received on Pentecost Sunday. Now, the sanctum of confirmation is indeed receiving the Holy Spirit. However, there is no guarantee of having, charismatic experiences. No guarantee of revelations. No guarantee of speaking with tongues. No guarantee of receiving the gift of healing from the sacrament of confirmation. The sacrament of confirmation is, as the name already indicates, to make more firm, to strengthen our union with God, especially to strengthen our faith. That's why children should be confirmed as soon as possible. In modern times, give some examples of the price Catholics could pay for sharing Christ's word with an unbeliever. Oh. You pick up a few names. You'd have names added to your family name. Fundamentalist. Zealous. Queer. Like a priest called me up from a distant state. His price is he was institutionalized because he was considered, psychotic. And of course, people will think you're imposing your ideas on them. You have friends. One way that people keep friends, many people, is by, conforming to their friends' wishes. You mean if I'm going to share my faith, that I'd have to, Father, you can't be serious. I would have to tell my friends who are living, say, in adultery, that I should tell them. I should remind them that they're doing wrong, but I'll lose my friends. I could spend one semester answering this question. It's great. Is it acceptable in a Catholic Church's teaching to have more than one set of godparents at baptism? You cannot have, you can call them godparents, but two is all you can have, if that's the question. In fact, even one, absolutely speaking, would be enough. And one person. How do the Protestants explain away Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood"? They don't. They don't. In other words, they just tell you that, these words have been either misunderstood by the Catholic Church, or what people used to think they meant, they no longer mean. There's no way. And evangelizing or re-evangelizing, what is a good starting point? And then a procession from there that you can recommend as you begin to undertake this work. First of all, and this is my main reason for giving these lectures, first of all, you've got to be convinced. Otherwise, without that, nothing moves. convinced that evangelizing, or for so many of us, the evangelizing others, is the will of God. You've got to be convinced, number one. Number two, make an inventory of the persons. Maybe a painful inventory of people you know, people you dearly love, who need to be either evangelized in both the faith in the first place, or re-evangelized. That can be the hardest list you'll ever put together. Then, number three, start. Don't think about it. Don't just pray about it. Do something. And, depending on your life, there may be 15 names of people very close to you that need either evangelization or reconversion. Start somewhere. Now you might start, this is my advice, you might start with the easiest, because you're liable to get discouraged. Am I making sense, by the way? Because some people are easier to convert than others. So don't start with the hardest, otherwise you may give up. So start with, I don't say the easiest, but one at least that you can, well, quietly talk about these things. That number three or four?
Four.
Number five. And you've got to start it. Cultivate the art of spiritual conversation. It's an art. Cultivate the art of spiritual conversation. Many Catholics just never talk about their faith. They just don't, period. The weather, sports, newspapers, whatever. Anything about, except about that which is most important. Cultivate the art of spiritual conversation. Then, at five now? Let me stop at seven, over there. More questions. Number six, start praying for those who you think need to be either converted or reconverted. Start praying for them by name. Then, number seven, I could go on. Number seven, and the person may be surprised. Do something, well, something nice. Something that is pleasing to that person. This is basic Dale Carnegie psychology. Am I still making sense? And I could, of course, I could add seven more, at least as a start. Do you know if the Holy See is going to make an official statement on the advisability of seeking the extraordinary charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, several popes by now have been very friendly with charismatics. They've spoken statements, extensive statements even. And we don't need any either official or semi-official statement of the Holy See to say that. We are not. This is a basic premise. To seek extraordinary charismatic gifts. God chooses whom he's going to give his gifts to. Will you please explain Rogation Days? May we still observe them? Who remembers? Rogation Days were the 3 days before what?
Change of season.
Before?
The change of season.
Okay. And we may, of course, we may observe them. And there are days, rogare means to ask for God's blessings. Yes. Where can I find the Fatima prayer said at the end of each decade of the Rosary? In Latin. Well, Daniel, do you have a copy of it in Latin? Please?
I know it.
You have it in Latin, don't you?
Yes.
And then next week, could you bring the Fatima prayer in Latin to class? Make copies for everybody. Look, I'm going to teach you some Latin. It's the last thing I do. Notice what I'm doing. Something which is, you know, attractive appealing. See? Overheard in a pediatrician's waiting room, quotes, "We only wanted two children. She," indicating a three-year-old next to the mother, "was a mistake." Unquote. What a tragedy. Can a three-year-older, can they understand? God have mercy on that mother. Our pastor gives us this ordering of priorities often. God before man, soul before body, and person before things. I like that. God before man, soul before body, and person before things. I buy that. Please comment on Protestant claim that we worship graven images. Well, as you know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were forbidden to make statues, pictures, icons, and so on. And the reason was because in the Old Testament, they were surrounded all over by pagans who did worship, literally worship, the idols which they had made. However, with Christ's coming, two things happened. First of all, Christ gave the grace to his followers, which the Jews did not have, to not fall into idolatry by making what in the Old Testament was forbidden. That's basic. Secondly, from the very beginning, from the first century, Christians did have pictures, statues, sculptures. The catacombs are filled with pictures, sacred paintings. And as a consequence, as I've said more than once, among the dozen or so favorite definitions of Protestantism, one of my most expressive is Protestantism is Old Testament Christianity. You've not graduated from grammar school. There was a New Testament. God did become man. And listen to this. And behind the church's veneration of sacred images, and I hope I'll be clear, is the fact that God became man, that a man with flesh and blood and bones and eyes and face, that man was adored. Because that man is God. See, behind the Catholic Church's veneration of sacred images is our faith in the Incarnation. Under what sin would foul language be classified? Well, it could be a sin against chastity, if it is foul in that sense. It could be a sin against the second commandment, using God's name in vain. It could, of course, be a sin against the fifth commandment, anger, where foul language then comes out because I don't have control of my temper. Last week in our Catholic high school, the ethics debated whether women should be ordained, and the class concluded that women should be ordained. Should I complain to the principal and demand that he tell the religion teacher what the Pope has said about this subject? Well, I'd say yes. In other words, this will be then, now, in other words, you can share your faith in Christ by complaining. Am I clear? That's one way of sharing your faith, by complaining. Or writing to the editor. Yes. Now, when you complain, don't just complain and make an issue of it. Be sure that something is done. Community is good for the soul. Please grade our paper. It just might give us the incentive we need to study. Well, being a Jesuit, let me ask, how many of you would want the papers graded? So what I will do, if the one who asked this question identifies him or herself, I'm very happy to grade that person. This is one way that I practice Christian charity. Could you say the Latin Tridentine Mass for us here one Sunday? It would not have to be a high Mass. We have servers. Well, I could, but, and I think you would understand my motive, I would rather not. I am so identified in working for the Church, and working, in fact, for Ecclesia Dei, to make sure that there is no promotion of anything. So, but very good if we could have maybe a priest who would have a Tridentine Mass. I don't want to also mistakenly identify what we're doing here on Sunday. Am I clear? 22 years of working for the Holy See has taught me a lot. And one thing is to be shrewd. So, I'd be happy to, but I think I'd rather not. How do we help ourselves against being discouraged in our re-evangelization efforts? Well, first of all, when discouraging thoughts come to your mind, keep them out of your mind. In other words, most people do not sufficiently protect their minds. And one recommendation that I made over the years, cultivate the art of writing. Write. And put, well, encouraging thoughts on paper. In other words, keep discouragement as much as you can off your mind, because it can, as you know, become even sinful. What does the word Guadalupe mean? Well, literally, of course, it was the name of the place. However, there are those who say that it means Immaculate or even Immaculate Conception. Is it from the beginning of the Eucharistic prayers? Is it from the beginning of the Eucharistic prayers till the end that no wording may be changed? Yeah. There is some liberty given in the Mass for the priest. But yes, Eucharistic prayers should certainly not be changed. I attended a Mass recently, and you just, what do I do? Priest offering Mass, he said, "This is my body." And then he raised the host. He's not in the habit of adding, and he better add. Otherwise, in my judgment, that consecration is not valid. Did the Greek Orthodox Church have valid consecration? Yes. Is the host and wine changed to the body and blood of Christ? Yes. And both the host and the wine change into both the body and blood of Christ. In the Creed we say that Christ rose again from the dead. Can you explain how he rose again? I'm not sure I've said this before, but there were two, call them resurrections, which really means two manifestations of Christ after he was crucified. The first was in soul. He appeared to those in limbo. And then he rose again in body. In other words, his soul went, as you may say, to limbo to visit those who were saved in the Old Testament. Then he rose again in body on the third day, Easter Sunday. Is the society of Pope Pius X loyal to Pope John Paul II? Well, if I understand by this question, these are the followers of Archbishop Lefebvre. No, unfortunately they are not. And one of my jobs from the Holy See is to do whatever I can to retrieve something like a million throughout the world that have separated from the Pope. Well-intentioned people, good people, but sadly misguided. Is it valid consecration if water is not added to the wine? Yes, it is valid. What happened to those who died before Christ? Did they go to limbo? Yes. Also, were pagans saved before the time of Christ? Yes, those who were, if you use that expression, good pagans, who believed in God and did his will. Thank you. There may a woman be, or when may a woman be a minister of the Eucharist? Thanks for these questions. It all depends on what you mean by may. If by may you mean, well, whenever she's authorized by, say, the bishop or the chancellor. And there are numbers of the thousands. But may a woman be a minister of the Eucharist when there is a real, and I would even add, grave necessity. Please explain why God allows some people to be possessed by evil spirits. Two basic reasons. One, to manifest his justice. A person is possessed because of being involved in Satanism, so then it is God's justice visited on the person who is thereby, if you wish, punished for, delving in Satanism. But then, another reason that God has is to manifest his own mercy in delivering people who are possessed. I did tell you about the woman in California. I did, didn't I? Whose husband went to Switzerland. I told you that. He spent 2 weeks on a vacation with his sisters, and he came back a maniac. Institutionalized psychiatrists can't help him. His wife called me up and asked, should I call up the chancellor? They told me to go to see a psychiatrist. I told him, he's been to a psychiatrist. They can't do anything. She described his symptoms. Man is under the influence of the devil. So I asked you to call up the chancery for me. I want to know who is the bishop in charge of authorizing exorcists. So she called me back and said, Bishop so-and-so. So then I called up Bishop so-and-so and told him, your chancery is getting phone calls. Nobody's paying attention. I think this man is under the influence of the devil. Would you fax me why you think he's possessed? So I faxed His Excellency a message. And I understand he's under the care of an exorcist. So to manifest God's mercy in delivering people from possession by the devil. By the way, the man's sister in Switzerland is a Satanist. Did God the Father raise Jesus from the dead, or did Jesus raise himself? Or did they do it together? These are delightful questions. It's also 4:20. Can I go on for a few more minutes? They did it together. In other words, whatever God does outside of himself is always done by all three persons working together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However, there are passages, as we know, in the New Testament where Christ is said to have been raised, passive voice. That refers then to Christ as man. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Trinity. He was the second person, which he happened to be. But then, that Christ raised himself, rose from the dead. That then speaks of Christ as God. Whatever Christ as God did, he did, along with, if I can use that word, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Is it permissible at the administration of the sacrament of baptism to have more than one set of godparents? You can have them. And then somebody better make a decision who are the real two godparents. Knowing your love for Latin, are you and should we be actively involved in the movement to restore the Latin Mass to our local churches? Are you? Oh, thanks for asking me. Am I? The issue is much deeper. I am working for Ecclesia Dei in Rome. I'll report to my Vatican officials in February of next year. But, and this, I think this question demands this kind of an answer. Those of you who love the Tridentine Mass, the Latin Mass, in sheer honesty, you must start learning Latin. Am I making sense? Otherwise, you become the laughing stock of everybody else. He's one of the reasons that the Second Vatican Council and then Pope Paul VI authorized the vernacular is to make the Mass intelligible. So if you want to promote the Latin Mass, God bless you for doing it, but you better then learn the Latin so that you won't have to tell people, I don't know what the Latin says, but I like the Latin. It sounds good. In my directives from Rome, to restore the Latin Mass to our local parishes, Novus Ordo or Tridentine. And this is where, obviously, priests, how many need to be educated in Latin? Taught too many priests not to know how much some priests know Latin. What is the highest moment of the Mass? The double consecration. In fact, that is the Mass. Why does God get the devil, let the devil have so much power and freedom? Well, for the same two reasons I gave before. God exercises his justice on human beings by allowing the devil to, cause trouble, pain, suffering. And then he allows the devil to do things so that then we, by invoking God's help, might overcome the devil with the grace we receive. Please recommend a priestly order dedicated to the Tridentine Mass and faithful to Rome. Well, of course, the fraternity of St. Peter. Pray for that fraternity, totally approved by the church, and if only, and I have to say this, if only Archbishop Lavelle had been more humble, I mean it, if only he had been more humble, what is now the fraternity of St. Peter, the followers of Lefebvre would have got from Rome. Let me tell you, behind Lefebvre, God judges, but from what we can tell, the way he wrote and the way he spoke about the popes and about the church's authority is not the language of a humble man. How can we evangelize someone on the importance of frequent confession when he says he only goes to confession once a year? Well, first, go to confession as often as you can yourself. And then, the purpose of going to confession is not just to remit mortal sins. Presumably, your friend goes to communion more than once a year to be sure that the person is in the state of grace. And the more grace you have when you go to communion, the more grace you receive from every communion. Confession strengthens the spiritual life, deepens the life of grace, and enables every communion to be more effective. Pray about the 12 minutes over time. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us sinners, before sin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.